I hope you're enjoying our conversation tonight with Evel Knievel. If you happen to want to jump in here with a question or just sit back and really kind of enjoy it. I have thoroughly enjoyed it tonight. You and I were talking during the commercial break about kids, and I was asking you what athletes you respected.
Well, I'll never forget my dad drove a cab and a limo here in this area in the Bay Area. I learned to ride a motorcycle in a little town over here called El Sobrani, which is just across the bay. And when I was 15 or 16, my parents were separated. My grandparents used to come let me see my dad, and he bought me a motorcycle, a little BSA 125. But I'll never forget, he brought me an autograph one time from Joe Louis. And I just loved Joe Louis. I wanted to be a prize fighter. And I carried that autograph till I was 21 years old. And later on, about in the 1970s, Joe came to my house and played my golf tournament in Butte, Montana. My grandmother, who's 95 now, and who raised me ever since I was a little boy. She said, I want to see if you really signed this autograph, Joe. Sign your name here. And she had that autograph in her little butterfly book, you know, and she opened up the same thing. And I just carried it, and I admired and respected Joe Louis so much. If every little white boy in the world would have thought about a black man like I thought about Joe Louis, and every little black boy would have thought of a white man the same way, would have never had any racial problems in this country. He was a great human being. I really think Muhammad Ali is cut of the same cloth, too. He's a beautiful human being, Muhammad Ali is. I never had any trouble getting along with generals. I'll give you some examples of generals. Joe Namath, Frank Gifford, Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana. In baseball, Yogi Berra. In basketball, Larry Bird, and I don't know much else about the basketball players. I can't stand people that shove and push little kids away who make their paychecks so big in life. They should be thankful for it. I've seen some guys in sports that ignore children who love them so much. I don't think in all my years, after being in the toy business, the pinball business, and the bicycle business, and my toy did over $350 million in this country. I'm very thankful. I got up every morning and saying, thank God for the kids that respect me and try to make a contribution to those children and their parents. I never had any problem getting along with a general like an Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus. I've always had trouble in my life with second lieutenants. Generals are guys that have made it and are happy for you because you've made it. Second lieutenants are guys that are jealous of you and don't want to see you make it.
Let me ask you a question about the kids and about the toy, because I remember there was some discussion and some controversy over the fact that maybe what you had done was setting a bad example for a lot of kids. And yet I know that hurt you from some comments I read at that particular time, that criticism, you were trying to teach the kids to go be the best that you can be, not to try to do specifically what you
were
trying to do.
I've never been able to deal with it, Ron. Never been able to deal with it. I've always remembered that Teddy Roosevelt wrote a short message that said, far better it is to win a victory or suffer defeat, even though you're checkered by failure, than it is to never know a victory or defeat or suffer a defeat because you have never had the guts to try either. And you live in a gray twilight and you don't get a chance to get out. So I always said, if you don't let your child take a chance in life at something, where there's little risk, there's little reward, they will not excel. Now, when I said I could never deal with it, comes the second part of the answer. I have four children, Kelly, Robbie. I have a daughter, Tracy, that's a missionary. And I have a little girl. Every time I come home, she's in this tree in the front of my house. She got 10 kids in the tree with her. And I get so upset because she's in that tree and she's twisting around and hang dropping and this and that and the other thing, and I tell her, get out of that damn tree. I don't want you in that tree. You're going to break your neck. Get out of there. Well, look, Daddy, I can do this or I can do that. And when I walk in the house, my wife says, remember, you said that this child should take a risk. And I'm so worried about my own little girl, so I know how parents feel. But I am a life risker. That's been my business. That's how I've made my living. And I don't say that everybody should do it. Like I said before, I was 26 years old when I went to Caesar's Palace. I started riding when I was 16. I only had 10 years of experience. But he started riding when he was 6 years old. He's got 20 years of experience. And the reason he has 20 years is because I wanted him to enjoy motorcycle riding and wanted to teach him when he was a very young boy. So through what we talked before, love and education and evolution, that's why he's better. I started him at a very young age. I played professional hockey when I was a young man, and I could never compete with the Canadians because in peewee hockey, they started when they were 5 or 6. I didn't start till I was 15 years old. I had a scholarship at the University of North Dakota. I played Western Hockey League with Seattle, Eastern with Charlotte. There was only one guy in the NHL playing when I played for New York. I just couldn't cut it. That's because I never learned at a very, very young age. And that's what makes kids great. They learn something for some reason, some talent that they never lose as a little child.
They're fearless.
That's right.
They really are.
That's right.
Let me move on to the Snake River, because that to me was one of the, I guess it was promoted. ABC, of course, was involved with that, and it was probably one of the most highly promoted, highly excitable events ever to happen.
The top rank. It was closed circuit, too.
Yeah, exactly. As you reflect back upon it these years, I mean, does it even overwhelm you, everything that was surrounding it?
Well, I've always had a chip on my shoulder about it because people blame me for pulling the parachute.
Well, exactly.
And I went on the F. Lee Bailey lie detector show nationwide and said that I'll take the lie detector test under one circumstance that you asked me if I've ever cheated or lied to anybody since I've been known as Evel Knievel.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever cheated anybody on the golf course, I'll answer no to both questions. And if that's the way, I'll go on if you'll test me. So they did. And I came up telling the truth 100%. I never thought nor knew nor ever even in my wildest dreams dreamt that parachute would open because I had control of it. It was an electrical malfunction on blastoff that blew that parachute system right out on the launch pad. And since then, even after all the controversy, they have erected a beautiful monument up there to me. Rock of Ages had, and the city of Twin Falls put it up at the canyon. And I went through there about a month ago to make a deal with them to release the canyon for my son to jump. And the day I went in there, there was an article in their paper by the president of the Chamber of Commerce that said that he felt that it was the greatest thing that ever happened to the state of Idaho and to Twin Falls, and that he'd like to make some contact with the Knievel family because he'd heard my son Robbie say on the Pat Sajak show that he might want to jump the canyon again. So the attitude has changed. But I don't care if it never changed. I don't care if they hated me in that town and if everybody in America thought that it was a ripoff. If I'd have made it, they'd all said it was easy. If I'd have gone in the river, they said he's a daredevil. That's what they're supposed to do is die. I missed it only by 7 feet, and I'd have drowned if I'd have went in that river. But I don't care because I know every time I go by there, I look at that canyon, and God has not moved it one single inch, and I don't see any big long line of daredevils standing up there wanting to jump across it. That's just how tough it is.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it blew, was that what made you come up the 7 feet short?
Sure.
Because it blew out.
And I went across the canyon, right? But the wind blew me in. I had a 38-knot mm-hmm. headwind coming right into me. And the engineer told me, he said, you're fooling with dynamite going across this thing. His name is Robert Turax. He lives right down here in Saratoga.
Right.
He's a fantastic engineer.
Exactly.
He could have done some things a little different than what he did. I had hired a great parachute engineer to do this thing for me in Los Angeles, a guy named Russ Wheeler that owned a company called Paranetics. Turax discharged him and hired his own parachute man. And Truax and I didn't get along real good. He had a typical government ego, and we had some problems. And he would bring stuff out to the site that would make me sick. I mean, a Briggs & Stratton lawnmower engine is to fire up the steam with. He was so used to building things, rockets, out of the cheapest parts that he could buy to send people into space that he couldn't change. It's like our government who built Gus Grissom and two other astronauts to death at Cape Canaveral. It's like the people that died in the Challenger mission, five astronauts, space people in that terrible accident. But I will say this, if my son, regardless of the misunderstandings I've had with Truax, I think he's a wonderful human being. I think through the years he's probably mellowed a little bit. I think he's more knowledgeable than any rocket engineer that ever lived. And if my son wants to jump the canyon, regardless of the misunderstandings I've had with Bob Truax and the arguments I've had with him, I don't think I could ever find a better guy to put Robbie across the canyon.
Maybe it's just the way I view things, but you probably have really no regrets about anything you've tried, anything you've succeeded in, or you've failed in.
Well, I'm still alive, and there's been somebody watching over me. I mean, I'm lucky. When I see what I went through, and I have some friends around the United States that, you know, this motorcycle jumping business is serious. There are 6 kids that have been killed in this country, Australia and Europe, trying to jump motorcycles over vehicles. There are also 2 of them that are paraplegics in wheelchairs, Bob Gill and a kid named Steve Ryan. And there's a boy that lives here in San Francisco that was one of the best motorcycle jumpers and riders of all time, a guy named Super Joe Einhorn. And Joe had tremendous brain concussion in Chicago at a performance. And I helped get him out of the hospital in Chicago and had him brought here to San Francisco. And I understand he's doing great now. I think he's living with his family. In fact, if he's listening, I'd like to say hello to him. But this is a tough, tough business. Like I said, the greatest competitor in life is death, and when you start fooling around with that...
Is that bet worth it?
Well, he's made his own decision. He has to live with it. I know one thing. After seeing me crash like he has ever since he's a little boy, and seeing this Gary Wells crash so bad, and for him to sit back there and get ready to go and think about it, it's going to be tough on him. When you jump at a speedway, you can make practice runs by the vehicles and test your RPM. You can put a radar gun on the speed. You can come and talk to your mechanic. You can say, do I look like I'm on the money? You can shift it 5 times. You can run it to 85 or 90 miles an hour. But at Caesar's Palace, you can't do that. You can only run up to that takeoff ramp about 35 or 40 miles an hour and stop, mm-hmm. and then go back and stop and do the same thing. His 20 years of experience and his guts and his knowledge and his ability will have to come into play that day. And if they don't, I hope he's man enough to face the consequences.
Thank you very much for coming in tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I really, really have. And I hope you find yourself back here on the West Coast, San Francisco, you'll come in and spend another hour with us.
I hope so, too. Thanks
Take
for
care
having
of
me.
Yourself and keep healthy, okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
You're listening to Sports Byline USA.